He returned to Alice, who was sitting under another tree.
"Stay away," she said. "I never want to see you again. You have dishonored me, dirtied me, and after you gave your word to protect me."
"You can freeze if you wish," he said. "I was merely going to suggest that we huddle together to keep warm, but if you wish discomfort, so be it. I'll tell you again that what we did was generated by the drug. No, not generated. Drugs don't generate desires or actions, they merely allow them to be released. Our normal inhibitions were dissolved, and neither one of us can blame ourselves or the other. However, I'd be a liar if I said I didn't enjoy it, and you'd be a liar if you claimed you didn't. So why gash yourself with the knives of conscience?"
"I'm not a beast like you. I'm a good Christian, God-fearing, virtuous woman."
"No doubt," Burton said dryly. "However, let me stress again one thing. I doubt if you would have done what you did if you hadn't wished in your heart to do so. The drug suppressed your inhibitions, but it certainly didn't put in your mind the idea of what to do. The idea was already there. Any action that resulted from taking the drug came from you, from what you wanted to do."
"I know that," she screamed. "Do you think I'm some stupid, simple serving girl? I have a brain. I know what I did and why. It's just that I never dreamed that I could be such a person. But I must have been. Must be."
Burton tried to console her, to show her that everyone had certain unwished-for elements in their nature. He pointed out that the dogma of original sin surely covered this. She was human, therefore she had dark desires in her, and so forth. The more he tried to make her feel better, the worse she felt. Then, shivering with cold and tired of the useless arguments, he gave up. He crawled in between Monat and Kaz and took the little girl in his arms. The warmth of the three bodies and the cover of the grass pile and the feel of the naked bodies soothed him. He went to sleep, with Alice's weeping coming to him faintly through the grass cover. Chapter 9. When he awoke, he was in the gray light of the false dawn, which the Arabs called the wolf's tail. Monat Kaz and the child were still sleeping. He scratched for a while at the itchy spots caused by the rough-edged grass, and then crawled out. The fire was out. Water drops hung from the leaves of the trees and the tips of the grass blades. He shivered with the cold. But he didn't feel tired nor have any ill effects from the drug as he had expected. He found a pile of comparatively dry bamboo under some grass beneath a tree. He rebuilt the fire with this and in a short time was comfortable. Then he saw the bamboo containers and he drank water from one. Alice was sitting up in a mound of grass and staring sullenly at him. Her skin was ridged with goosebumps. "Come and get warm," he said. She crawled out, stood up, walked over to the bamboo bucket, bent down, scooped up water and splashed it over her face. Then she squatted down by the fire, warming her hands over a small flame. If everybody is naked, how quickly even the most modest lose their modesty, he thought. A moment later, Burton heard the rustle of grass to the east. A naked head, Peter Frigates, appeared. He strode from the grass and was followed by the naked head of a woman. Emerging from the grass, she revealed a wet but beautiful body. Her eyes were large and a dark green, and her lips were a little too thick for beauty, but her other features were exquisite. Frigate was smiling broadly. He turned and pulled her into the warmth of the fire with his hand.
"You look like the cat who ate the canary," Burton said. "What happened to your hand?"
Peter Frigate looked at the knuckles of his right hand. They were swelled, and there were scratches on the back of the hand.
"I got into a fight," he said.
He pointed a finger at the woman who was squatting near Alice and warming herself.
"There was a madhouse down by the river last night. That gum must contain a drug of some sort. You wouldn't believe what people were doing. Or would you? After all, you're Richard Francis Burton. Anyway, all women, including the ugly ones, were occupied one way or another. I got scared at what was going on, and then I got mad. I hit two men with my grail, knocked them out. They were attacking a 10-year-old girl. I may have killed them. I hope I did. I tried to get the girl to come with me, but she ran away into the night. I decided to come back here. I was beginning to react pretty badly from what I'd done to those two men, even if they deserved it. The drug was responsible. It must have released a lifetime of rage and frustration. So I started back here, and then I came across two more men. Only these were attacking a woman. This one. I think she wasn't resisting the idea of intercourse so much as she was their idea of simultaneous attack, if you know what I mean. Anyway, she was screaming, or trying to, and struggling, and they had just started to hit her, so I hit them with my fist and kicked them, and then banged away on them with my grail. And then I took the woman. Her name's Logu, by the way. That's all I know about her, since I can't understand a word of her language. And she went with me.